but I'll get her for this. I'll get you for this. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If I sound a bit groggy, I woke up with a very sore throat this morning. So bear with me, but thank you so much for this song. I really receive it. I receive it right here in my heart. And my family phoned me at 6:15 this morning. So they sang to me. And beautiful. The message that I'm going to share is most probably one of the challenging messages of my life. Just for where I'm at this stage. And how I'm just learning about God's way in dealing with this broken and fallible people. You know, sinners. And the message that I want to talk about is the secret place, because each and every one of us got a secret place. I shared a bit of it with our men's big group, and I just want to expand on it because I think it's so important to talk about the secret place. The secret place is the place where you make up your mind how you're going to treat people. The secret place is that place where you decide what you're going to do. It's actually a very important place. It's a very important spot. And then whatever happens there determines what happens in the natural. I'm also very short of breath, so just bear with me. But it happens there. And God has been taking me on this journey in my secret place right here in the UK at this stage. And He's doing it in that way. And also now when we're on this wonderful time, spending in time with God, me and my family. I'm talking to us about it. But it's something that He's talking to the church, and why He wants us to be loyal to Him right within that place and right within that space. And there's three things that I want to touch on this morning when it comes to the secret place. Number one, the first one, if you go to that second slide, Ian, it's everyone's battleground. The secret place is everyone's battleground. Secondly, the secret place can be your worst enemy. And thirdly, the secret place can be everyone's place of victory. You know, that's the place where you fight your sanity. It's the place that your husband or your wife don't even know about, but you're fighting your sanity right there. Because it's only God that knows. So that's important that we do have a focus concerning that. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every deed into judgment." Now watch this, "with every secret thing, whether good or evil." You see, immediately we see the secret place is the place where each and everyone one day will give an account to God for. Everyone are accountable to Him, and we're going to talk to Him about whatever we've thought in our secret place and what we've said there. And when we see this, when we see God judges everything that's done in secret, immediately we understand that being hypocritical in front of people, it's most probably not a good choice for us. And how we feel and what we think. And it speaks of the fear of God, and the fear of God is cultivated right there in the secret place. You don't cultivate the fear of God in any other place. The fear of God can be modeled to you, and it should be modeled. I'm not going into detail on how do we model it here, but we must model it. But once we've grown beyond the stage where people demonstrates and models the fear of God, we've got to cultivate it in our secret place. We've got to tremble, and when God speaks to us through the scriptures, when nobody's seeing, on our knees, flat down on our faces, worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it's not on there, but Romans chapter 2 verse 15 to 16 says, "They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Only that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." The gospel. He judges the secrets. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 24. Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. Matthew chapter 10 verse 26. So have no fear of them, Jesus says. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that it will not be known. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the book, according to what they had done. So what I'm realizing in this time of my life, there's things that's been written down about my life, which happens in the secret place. It's going to be open. It's jotted down. And with that within the back of our mind, I want us now to look at a case study of a guy called Reuben. Just with what I've shared now, the fear of God and the secret place and what happens there, I want us to look at a case study, about a guy called Reuben. Genesis chapter 49 verse 3 to 4. Let's read together there. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the firstfruit of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power, unstable as water. You shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. You went up to my couch. We're talking now about the secret place, not as everybody's battleground, but now we move to the secret place as everybody's enemy. Jacob is blessing his 12 sons, and it's quite an interesting blessing if you read through it. But this is one of the blessings that always, when I read what Jacob prays over his sons, it sometimes upsets me. Like, for instance, he would say to Benjamin, "You're a ravenous wolf." And I would say, "Lord, why would you say that about your kids?" In this case, he says, "Reuben, you're an unstable as water. You're the firstborn. You have the rights of the firstborn, but you're not going to get it because you're unstable as water. You will not have preeminence. You are my strength. You came from my loins. But I can tell you this, nothing of that is going to happen to you." Now, that's a powerful thing to say for a dad to a son or to a daughter. Now, you don't need a PhD to figure this out. Reuben's in trouble. And you don't need a PhD to figure this out, that whatever Jacob's saying here became true. But just to relax us, if Benjamin was the ravenous wolf, there's a reason why the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 says, "I was of the tribe of Benjamin." You see, when a ravenous wolf gets redeemed, he plants churches like a ravenous wolf. That was the Apostle Paul. It's just a redeeming of the curse reversed. But for Reuben, it didn't work out like that. Why? Let's read Genesis chapter 35 to 19 to 22. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar over a tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Israel journeyed, which is Jacob, on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and laid with Bela, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. That's the reason why Reuben received that prophecy. Reuben thought, he thought that nobody would see that he was sleeping with his father's concubine. But scripture says his father heard of it. And so his father says, "You'll be an unstable as water." The secret place, our enemy. I've said this now quite a few times. I'm going to say this again this morning. Reuben faked it. You see, that's the danger of ministry and a platform like this for me. Either I am this close to God this morning, or I'm faking it. It's serious business. It makes me nervous every Sunday. Because I can say things here that I don't really mean and that you don't know about. But it's written down in a book. And as I think nobody knows, somebody knows. But you know, the secret place can be everybody's victory. And may I say this, all victories are won in the secret place. The secret place is where we create our stability. We're not unstable. In the secret place, we're not, if we're there stable, we're not as unstable as the water. Psalms chapter 91, verse 1 to 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's that place, that safe place, that safe space that we occupy when nobody sees. But God knows how we feel about them, and He looks forward to covering us. It's that place of revelation, that place of glory. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to our Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. No man or woman is greater than their secret place. No man or woman is greater than their secret place. It's that place where God speaks into our hearts and He strengthens us. It's a beautiful place. Giving from the secret place. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In other words, what Jesus is saying, when you give, learn how to cultivate humility. Take your ego out of the way. And obviously, I'm not saying now, wives and husbands, or give presents to your children in secret. No, that's not what I mean. But there's a principle underlying here when it comes to giving from the secret place where nobody knows and only God knows. Listen to this, fasting in secret. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your feet, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In the secret places where we cultivate spiritual strength. It's first and foremost not the church. The church is part of it. It's first and foremost not in corporate worship. But spiritual strength is cultivated in that secret space while we pray and fast for other people and for ourselves. When we are on our knees, we can keep other people standing. When we are on our knees, we can keep other people standing, even sinners. We cover them in the secret place. We fast for them. We pray for them. And then singing in your secret space, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. The songs of victory you hear in the secret place. It's that place where I sing, and I think it's best that nobody would hear how I sing in my secret place. And it's best, I think, that nobody would see how I dance. Songs of victory. This morning, I just couldn't help. When the faces on the other side of South Africa came up and they started singing, so I just started crying again. Just from the secret. So I think I spoiled their surprise. Are you crying now? And then they started crying. I said, no, I didn't mean to do this. It's just where I'm at now, and I miss you. But it's not a bad thing. There's a reason why God wants me here to be alone for 2 weeks. He knows why. He knows this. He knows why we had to go away. And just on this farm at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the evening, both of my daughters on my chest, we're lying and watching the stars and talk about the stars and why God created it. There's a reason why God designed it. Because in the secret place, when a family goes together in their secret place, they get perspective of their lives. They get perspective of why they feel the way they feel, and why they do what they do. And sometimes when we do not have get perspective in the secret place, it's so beautiful when you talk to older people, older Christians, who can just give you perspective on why do you feel like this as a mom. You know, the reason why you're worried and the reason why you're so tired is because you're tired. And then an older woman or an older person will say, you know, the most godly thing that you can do now is get 10 hours sleep. Tell your husband to take the kids. It's just perspective. But it's a perspective from the secret place. It's a perspective that we get there. Let me end off. Surrendering in our secret place. Joshua's going to take Jericho. Moses is dead. Joshua starts with the book of Joshua starts like this. Now Moses was dead. God is a God of the now. Somebody dies, but God moves. God calls Joshua, and God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 three times, do not be scared, do not be afraid. In other words, God's saying something very deliberate to Joshua, and God is telling Joshua that whatever God's going to give him, he must take it. He shouldn't be afraid of it. God doesn't have a speech impediment when he says something three times. I mean, when God says something three times, then we better listen. It's not like he stutters, you know. But then they go over the Jordan. They're on this side. They're camping there. And then this incident happened. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, let's read this very slowly. No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Joshua thinks this is the enemy. We know it's Jesus appearing to him. So Joshua says, are you for us? Are you against us? Are we going to fight now? And you know Joshua, he knows how to fight. At this stage, it's amazing. Joshua and Caleb's 80 years old. By the time Caleb gets his inheritance, he's 80. Joshua and Caleb is most probably between 80 and 90 years old, and they still want to fight. Wow. But anyway, so they're ready for this. But Jesus makes an interesting statement. Jesus says no. Why does Jesus say no? Jesus says no. It's not that I'm for you or against you. It's just make sure that you're with me. Let's just settle that. I don't choose sides. You choose. That's the first thing. The second comment is very interesting. I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and I'm here now. Can I just tell you in slang what Jesus was telling him? Jesus was saying, I've come to fight for you. I'm here now. I'm going to fight for you. Don't worry. I'm going to give them a hiding. They're all going to die. So this is now my artistic gig. My DJ creating this movie out, Jesus, so they're all going to die. You're going to see. I'm going to go ahead of you and I'm going to destroy them. Watch Joshua's response. And Joshua fell on his face because now he recognized, oh my word, this is Jesus, the Lord himself. To the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to the servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua won Jericho right there. Joshua did not win Jericho when the walls came tumbling down. Because Joshua surrendered in the secret place. I mean, isn't it cool when Christ walks into the room and just tells you, don't worry about this job interview. It's covered. It's yours. I didn't work as a permanent teacher back in 2000 when I received my first job. For 4 years I floated, gave my life to the Lord, saved me, 16 May 2004. In June I get an interview to be a permanent teacher at the school for the hearing impaired. So I throw in my CV, and at that stage what they did, all the teachers that applied for this job, they take the CV to the central point of government, and then government would shift through it, and then they'll send all the CVs back to the school, and then the school will open up this package, and they will look at everybody who applied for the job, and then they will sift it again to three or four people who they wanted to interview. So I did it. Went, and I'm sitting there, and this guy wasn't supposed to do this. So I'm not supposed to know who all applied. You know, it's unethical. But one of the guys on the interview committee was going, came out, and he walked to the toilet, and he stopped. He said, "I'm not supposed to tell you this, but when we opened up the bag, it was only your CV." I had a horrible interview. It was one of my worst interviews ever. I stumbled over my words, but I still got the job. When God settles something for us in a secret place, we know it's ours. And there's just insult to injury. I walked out there feeling, man, I felt bad. I thought, oh, this must be the worst enemy. But it's insult to injury. It's just God keeping me at that place of humility. You know. But Joshua's response for me is life-changing in the secret place. He worships. And Christ's response is life-giving. Take off your sandals. Because the secret place is a holy place. And that is where we win all our victories. The revelation that we receive in the secret place, it never comes cheap. For Paul, it was a thorn in the flesh. Paul actually says, it was a messenger from Satan that hindered me. Now, we don't know what it was, but it was demonic. It's interesting that God would use something demonic. It was God who sent the demonic thing to Paul. Paul says, to keep me from conceit. Why? Because Paul was in third heaven, where he said he heard things that you cannot explain. For Jacob, wrestling with God in the secret place, he had a limp. For Moses, who did miraculous miracles, you know what Moses' thorn in the flesh was? Moses' thorn in the flesh was the 2 million Jews that never wanted to listen to him. With all the miracles, that was Moses' thorn in the flesh. It's terrible, huh? It's terrible. I mean, I was reading Jeremiah through the holidays. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He preaches, then they beat him. He prophesies, then they say, no, we don't want to hear this. Prophesy something else. Then they beat him again. They throw him into a pit. I mean, he's called the weeping prophet because he weeps so much. But you see, if we want to go to that secret place, it does not come cheap. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, and I'll end off. Isaiah 31 verse 1 to 2. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. He's prophesying about Jesus. And princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of great rock in a weary land, a hiding place. Isaiah said that Jesus was the secret place. A man would be the secret place. Jesus was the secret place. Do you see it in that scripture? Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place. He was prophesying about Jesus, who said, come to me. Come hide with me. That's why John has the seven I am sayings. It points, the sayings and the signs in John points to the one who is the secret place. And it is interesting that the secret place came to reveal himself to us. And from that perspective, I think this year, God's going to give us so much victory if we abide in the secret place. Abide in me. I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. Israel was the vine in the Old Testament. Jesus says, But now Jesus says, it's not Israel anymore. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. If you abide in me, if you abide in that secret place, if you abide in the secret one who rewards openly, you'll bear fruit. And that's the place where we fight on our knees. That's the place where the scriptures speak to us. Malva, could we have the communion, please? Sorry. And then I just want us to pray two by two as we break bread. And I want us to pray that we will, like Joshua, like Moses, like all the great men of faith, that we will cherish the secret place. That is where we pray that God will save. That is where we pray where God would heal. That is where we pray that God will protect. That is where we get our victory. And we do not leave that place until God says. We even stay in that place until God gives bad news. For our perspective. But from His perspective, it's always good news. Let's be honest. There's stuff that we hear in our secret place that we don't want to hear. I just want to say that also. But we stay there until He speaks. And right there we will receive the victory. Just to take everything that is given to us and giving us perspective. I think the world and the church at this stage, they yearn for perspective of why do we feel like this and why do we do what we do. But you can only get perspective once you have the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and then the highest form of wisdom is understanding. Understanding why He does what He does. And from that place, speaking into people's lives, and it changes them forever. God, we want to be like the Apostle Paul and Epaphras. We want to be like the Abrahams that in the secret place prayed for place. Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah in the secret place. Epaphras prayed for the church in Colossians. Paul says, my little children for whom I labor in love. Paul labored on his knees for other people, for the churches that he started. There's a labor of love. There's a labor in the secret place, Lord, that you're going to teach us in the last days. And God, it's not the limelight thing. So many miracles is going to happen in the secret place and we will not be allowed to tell anybody. We'll just have to receive it. And one day you'll reward. So God, grant us the spiritual stamina to continue to fight on our knees. Grant us to fight on our knees. Get perspective of why other people feel like they feel and think the way they think. But most important, give us perspective on why you do things the way you do it. Paul, after three times of prayer, just decided that he's not going to pray anymore because he knows it's you. Because you said your grace is sufficient. He just left it. God, I'm going to be honest, it messes with my mind. The fact that he knew it was demonic, but he left it because you sent it and you said your grace is sufficient. But I want to come to that place of surrender. I pray that your church will come to that place of surrender. Where we will even pray, God, yes, even if it hurts, continue to do what you need to do. God, it's a scary place, but that's the place of surrender you're wanting us to come to. And God, at this stage, you meet your people where you are at and you have that conversation with them because it's an important conversation that you're having with your church. I just feel God wanting me to share this story, one more story. I can remember praying for Almery in a very disrespectful way one day when God abruptly stopped me and God said, Almri is your best gift on this side of eternity that you'll ever have. If you don't know how to respect her on your, in your secret place, on your knees, don't pray to me about it. And it's just a valuable lesson that I've learned on how we treat people when nobody sees on our knees. And from that on, my prayer life for my wife changed. I really listened to God, and the way God looked at her, wow, I had another perspective. But it happens in the secret place. And so sometimes we walk in there and thinking we're going to say things. It's like Joshua, you want to fight? You want to fight? And then she said, no, wait. I'm actually here for you. Just backtrack. Take the sandals off your feet. And then let's talk from that perspective. Let's talk from a place of surrender. We cannot win if we don't learn how to surrender. We cannot win if we've learned how in humility to lay everything down and says, God, teach me how to do this. Father, we break the bread and we drink the wine in remembrance of you. You surrendered in the Garden of Gethsemane. You gave up your spirit on the cross. But how victorious it was. Let's eat and drink together. We do this in remembrance of you. The greatest victory ever pulled off was by surrendering. And you led the way. May we run to our secret place as often as possible. And may we take our families away to the secret place. Away from all the digital media. Just away. Drawing near to you as we talk and sing and pray together. Away from all the noise. Away from all the archers that are shooting towards us. Out of the reach of the enemy, in the shelter of the Most High. That's what we long for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming this morning.